Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. You know, there are certain things that make a pastor's heart just so full of joy. And one of them is looking out and seeing the sanctuary packed. Packed out on a Sunday morning. I love it. And then, you know, just looking over and seeing all the grandbabies and the kids at the altar. That stuff just sends my heart just into heaven. I mean, I say if I died today, I'd just go so full and satisfied in the Lord. Amen. Okay, so help, Holy Spirit. I know you will. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm in this grace series, and we are getting there. We are getting there. I was out last week at, went to El Magai in the evening with Pastors Nick and Liz, and ran into Mama Didi and the life group out there. If you haven't been over there, I'll give them a plug. El Magai's a Mexican restaurant over on, is it Oakdale? It's Oakdale Road in the Old Century Center, and it's so good. But anyways, I ran into them, and they were like, I think it was Michelle Hagler. She said, I don't know if you say it, Hagler. I would say Hagler. Is it Hagler? She said, I don't want the series to end, Pastor Verna. It's been so good. I just don't want it to end. Well, it's never going to end because we're grace-based, and we're going to preach grace and faith till the day we see Jesus face-to-face, right? But we are growing in God and learning so much. And so if you haven't been a part of this series, you should go back into the archive and just listen to these messages because it will get you so happy and so joyful in God that you'll want to serve God and never stop. Amen? But we are on number 14 or number 15 now. And I said I had 19 of them. And last week I talked about because of grace I have hope. And I will repeat myself often. And so that we can stay with this theme that grace is not a theology. Grace is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is a gift. Grace is something that God gives us even though we don't deserve it. How many of you feel like you deserve the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ when you recognized your own sin? We don't feel like we deserve that, right? So that's the overwhelming thing is that Jesus came. He died on the cross for our sins, took our death penalty away, actually became our sin, and took that penalty on the cross so that we could become his righteousness in him. In Christ Jesus. So positionally, he's made us righteous. Positionally, he's made us holy. There are days my flesh is not holy. I don't know about yours, but my flesh isn't holy. I have to put that flesh down on that altar. But my spirit is holy. My spirit is like the Lord. My spirit is saved, sanctified, blessed, gifted, empowered to live for God, set apart, strong to overcome every weakness. Come on. I've been justified just as if my sins never, ever happened. Because of grace, I believe and I have faith. I wouldn't even have the faith to keep going if it weren't by the grace of God. Because of that, my spirit is called. I have a purpose in life and so do you. And on the worst day when I have made the worst mistakes, it doesn't change the fact that I'm a noble. I have an inheritance. I'm a royal family member. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I have hope. I mean, even when the devil tries to tell me I'm hopeless, I tell him you're a liar because my hope is not built on just wishful thinking. It's built on Jesus, who is my hope. And when it's all wrapped up, faith, love, and hope will remain. It'll go all the way into heaven with me, so you can never take it away from me. I have hope today. I have hope tomorrow. I have hope for eternity because I am connected to the God of hope. Well, I could just end right there and we could all go to lunch and just have a great day, right? But I want to talk to you today about some hardships and some things that happened to us along the way. I was listening to Joyce Meyer this morning, and one of the things she said is, listen, some of you need to stop thinking so hard and trying to figure everything out, every frustrating thing in your life. She said, you need to trust God and just do good. Just keep doing good. Even when bad things are happening. Amen. I love that. She's so point blank. But she said, I was such a whiner and complainer. I was such a hot mess. I mean, everything in my life was just frustration and fretting. And I was always trying to figure things out. She said, Dave, he just doesn't figure nothing out. He's like, God's got it under control. And he's working everything together for our good. So why don't we just enjoy life even though bad things are happening around us? Right. So I have learned that I have to, one of the ways that I can be more joyful is to be thankful, is to give God thanks. And because of grace, I can give thanks. I can give thanks that my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. That even though, like I said, the tent's going to get wrapped up and this outward thing is perishing day by day, inwardly I'm being renewed. And no matter what comes against me, I have something to be thankful for. And so do you. And so in 2 Corinthians, Paul starts out saying, for all things, and I'm going to come back to all things. We're going to talk about what all things are. Some of you have been going through some things. And I want you to just mark that, all things. Say it to yourself, all things that I'm going through is for someone else. And I can be thankful. See, Paul's talking right now, and he's saying all things, and I'm going to talk about the things, are for your sakes. That grace, there it is, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Paul is saying, look, I'm living this faith thing. I'm preaching. I'm obeying God. I'm doing what he asked me to do. And I'm preaching a message of grace. And I'm not getting a lot of cheers and applause. Right? There's some things that are coming against my life, even though I've experienced the grace of God and I'm preaching the right message. How many of you felt like that? I'm preaching the right message. I'm living the right message. I'm serving God. But God, there's all these things coming against me. And I want to talk about all those things that were coming against Paul. He says in verse 4, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Say this, I do not lose heart. So Paul goes on to talk about the things that they had all done. They had renounced the hidden things of shame. I mean, we have neos. So many of us have learned that, you know, we've got to leave the past in the past. There's a lot of things that have happened in our past that have been shameful that we don't want to remember, right? But we're not going to live the rest of our life with shame on us. When the devil says shame on you, God says, no, I took shame off of you. So Paul's talking about this. He says, I've renounced that stuff. I'm not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And so Paul's saying, look, I'm doing this right. I'm not fleecing the flock. I'm not preaching, you know, to try to, for just money and doing all that. And I see such an authenticity in this house. Like, I don't stand in this pulpit every week so that people throw money at me. I mean, God takes care of me. We've seen the big, you know, money ministers rise up and crash and burn and take churches down with them. And that's not what's happening here in Modesto, Soul Harvest. We love God. We believe that he's going to bless us financially. But, you know, we're handling the word of God without being crafty or deceitful. We're just talking about what God wants. And many times when you're doing the right thing, you've got the right message. You're being honest about, you know, your life and your handling of the word of God. The enemy is still going to come against you, right? But Paul goes on, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. That's so frustrating. How many of you have tried to share the gospel with somebody who just don't get it? It's like they just got blinders on, you know, and Paul is being honest. He's like, you know, I'm preaching. And there's this whole demographic of people. It's like there's just a veil. There's something over their eyes that they just can't get it. And this is good news. This is good. It's good. Some of you are there. You're trying to share the gospel with family members. You've handled the word of God accurately. And it's just, there's nothing happening. But he says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves. Well, I ought to get up at every conference and get up and preach that one. We do not preach ourselves. Oh, Lord, help me get through this text. We've had the pompous, pious, you know, pretty boys and girls with their parade of posse, rolling out the red carpet for them and coming in and giving you their resume for an hour before they even preach the word of God. Let me tell you who I am. You know, it's like, let me tell you what I've done. Let me tell you. Da, da. And no, it's like, what does God want to say to this group of people today? Feed us more than what you're about. Paul is up there saying, we don't preach ourselves. I like that. We preach Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves, your bondservants, for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So I'm setting this up. Paul's like, I'm not fooling myself. I'm not coming into these cities and just preaching myself. I'm preaching Christ. And sometimes I got fruit and sometimes I don't. There's all these people that have been blinded by the God of this age. And I'm still serving God. And I'm your bondservant for Christ's sake. I love you. I want to encourage you. And then he goes on and starts talking about all the things. And I want you to get this today as if it's you saying it. I like the subtitle in this portion. It says, cast down but unconquered. I always say, pay attention to the subtitles. I want you to say this. I've been knocked down, but I've been unconquered because I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. See, and Paul starts talking about it. He says, but we have this treasure. What is it? The treasure. It's the gospel. It's the Spirit of God. It's the life of God himself. I have it. He says, we all have it in earthen vessels. You know, an earthen vessel is not that strong. I mean, if you have a steel vessel, you can hit it with a hammer. But he's saying we're made out of mud and dirt here. You know, we could crack. Some of you are crack pots. I have a crack pot. Those are the best kind because water leaks out of them. Water's everything around them, right? But anyways, he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. See, you. I always say, you need to study all the buts in the Bible. See, God's got some buts, and a but is it's a transition word. It means that's happening, but this is also happening. So many of you have been hard-pressed on every side. Some of you are perplexed. When you're perplexed, you're frustrated. You don't know how to figure it out. You don't know what is going on, right? We live in the mystery. I love that song, and I'll raise a hallelujah. It says, in the middle of the mystery. So much of what's going on in our life is a mystery. You know, I love mysteries, mystery movies, because I'm like, what's going to happen? Who did it? How's this going to work out? We get so excited about the mystery movie, but we get so mad when we're in the middle of God's mystery. In a good mystery movie, I lean in and I watch closer. You know how so many believers, when they're in the middle of God's mystery in the story, they pull out, they pull back, they shrink back. You shouldn't do that. You should understand, I'm in a mystery right now, but I'm going to trust God and do good because he's going to work it out for my good. Amen? It says, I'm persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always caring about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. And what's he talking about? He's saying, I'm constantly putting to death my flesh. Yeah? I'm constantly identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ so that the life of Christ can be seen in my life, imparting into you something that says you can keep going because God's going to resurrect you out of this season. You can keep going no matter what's going on in the world with COVID because God's going to resurrect you up out of this season. You can keep going no matter what has closed or gone away in your life because God's going to resurrect you out of this season. And ultimately, we're going to be resurrected anyways. Even if the body perishes, we're more than a body. At some point, our spirit's going to separate from this whole thing, and we're going to live forever. The body may be dead, but I'll never die. See, God's life and his resurrection power is working no matter what's going on in this world. Hallelujah. Amen? I love it. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. See, you can't just leave faith in your head. We get saved because we start talking. I believe in you, Lord. Yes, I confess you as Lord. I confess you as Lord. But we can't just believe and then leave our confession. We got to believe and speak. Keep speaking. Keep speaking faith. Keep speaking resurrection power. Get in worship services where you can sing about it like we did this morning. When you walk into the room, sickness vanishes. The dead begin to rise because there's resurrection power in all you do. Paul is saying, look, we believe, therefore we just keep speaking, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things, here we go, all things are for your sakes. Paul's not whining. He's just saying, look, I'm an earthen vessel just like you. But I got this powerful God up inside of me. Sometimes I'm hard-pressed. Sometimes I'm perplexed. Don't call me when you need an answer. Sometimes I don't even know what to do. All I can do is listen to you and point you to Jesus. I mean, you can learn everything that the seminary or the cemetery has to offer you. But there's going to come a moment when you, even with the Word of God in front of you, don't have the answer. You just got to hold on to the one that does. All things are for your sakes. The grace, there it is, the grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Listen, ladies, there's not enough Botox or Botox in a bottle to keep that from happening in your life. Men either. It's going to perish. Right? And every day we're noticing more and more of the perishing. Yeah? I was noticing the perishing on my knees this morning. I'm like, I got new wrinkles on my knees. Man. You're messed up when your knees start getting wrinkled up. Right? All right. Well, I'm just picking on myself. But listen, we got to start looking inward. And living more into the invisible realm. And one of the things I love about the elders is that those that have walked with the Lord a long time, it's like they become more and more and more beautiful to me. The things that used to rattle them, it just doesn't. Their ability to trust God when all hell is breaking loose is so powerful and incredible. That's why we got to get around them. You got to get around Pastor Glenn and Ann. You got to get around Mama Didi and these others, you know. And I have gray hair too, but you'll never see it until I die because I'm going to keep it covered. Amen. I've already got Chrissy and my girls prepped. Do not let me die without my color and my hair. I hope God just translates us all so we can go looking young and beautiful, right? We're all young and beautiful. But Paul's talking about this thing. He's like, look, we go through a lot in life, but everything I go through, it's not just for my sake. It's for yours so that you can see the strength and the victory that God gives to me, and I can set an example for you. So nothing you're going through, and the Lord wanted me to share this with you and tell you this morning, nothing you're going through or have gone through has been wasted. God is not going to waste one tear. He's not going to waste one moment of pain. He's not going to waste one moment of isolation and loneliness where you said, I'm not alone. Come rest on me. Lord, you fill the vacancies. Help me to make choices in this season of my life out of purpose and not out of pain. I'm not going to keep repeating the mistakes of the past. I got to lean into you in this season. I've got to grow up in this season. Lord, I can't keep doing the things I did in the past. I've got children now to think about. They've got to see a new season of victory in my life. Amen. And I need you to be able to do that. Paul says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And I put this up as a wisdom love letter on Monday. But the Lord, as I was preparing for this sermon, he said, tell him I'm setting him up for something better. And I want you to be thankful regardless of what you're experiencing right now. Like Paul, all the things you're going through will help someone else as you stay faithful to God and depend on his strength. He's taking the good, the bad, the ugly, and he's working it all together for your good because he's always looking out for your best interest. I love the way the Amplified put that scripture. We are pressured in every way. Some of you have been feeling the pressure in every way. Hemmed in, hedged in, but not crushed, perplexed, unsure, finding a way out, but not driven to despair, hunted down and persecuted, but not deserted, not abandoned. You are not abandoned this morning. The devil will tell you God's abandoned you. You know, something dries up financially. A relationship dries up. Something happens over here. And you feel that loneliness. And you know, the enemy loves to tell you that you're abandoned. Some of you actually were abandoned. I mean, people just got up and abandoned you. But God will never abandon you. You're never abandoned. Never. And never to abandon to stand alone. Somebody's always standing with you. Paul says we're struck down but never destroyed, always carrying around the body of the dying of Jesus so that the resurrection life of Jesus also may be shown in our body. So I wanted to bring that scripture back and look at that again. You know what I've learned? When I start feeling all of these things, my flesh needs to go back on the cross. I need to put my flesh on the cross. Paul said, I die daily. I die daily so that the life of Christ can be seen in me. You know, if we don't put that thing down, we'll get into pity parties. I love what Joyce Meyer says. She says, you can't be pitiful and powerful at the same time. You're going to be one or the other. Yeah? Powerful people don't have pity parties. They have Holy Ghost parties. Yes? It's so easy to start to feel sorry for yourself. I don't feel sorry for myself. Why should I be sorry about something God did in my life that would help other people walk through a season that they're about to walk through? Amen? I don't feel sorry about that. You may be going through difficult circumstances right now, but I want to encourage you to keep your eyes on Jesus and know that he will not abandon you or waste your pain. He loves you and he is near. He's working all things together for your good, so be thankful right now. You may be in a season where you feel isolated, alone, and hidden. It's because seeds don't grow and produce trees, orchards, fruit, and more seeds until hidden. So be thankful right now. You may be in a season where you feel crushed. Olives don't produce oil until they're crushed. Because of the painful process, you'll walk in a powerful and fresh anointing. So be thankful right now. You may feel broken. But grapes must be broken and crushed to make wine. There's a new season and a new wine coming. So be thankful right now. Amen. You may feel pressure, intense pressure on every side, but diamonds form under pressure. And even though a diamond is of great value in its original state, dirty and hidden, it increases in value once placed in the hands of a master diamond cutter who grinds, cuts, and puts it under even more pressure. So be thankful right now because your brilliance is about to be seen. Woo! You may feel irritation within. Some things may have gotten in, but pearls form from irritation. The oyster begins to release an oil that begins to go around the irritation, whatever that is, a piece of sand. And I'm telling you right now, some of you need to get into prayer and start to release the oil of the anointing, because the oil of the anointing of the Holy Spirit will get around that irritation and begin to protect you from that irritant, and a pearl will begin to be developed. Those pearls of your wisdom that will come out of this season will be something that the whole world will experience. So be thankful right now. God says some of you have been hidden, crushed, broken, pressured, cut. You've been irritated by circumstances. The circumstances were not meant to destroy you, but only to develop things of greater value in you. He says, I've polished and pruned from your life what was hindering you, and you are about to bear bigger, better, and more fruit than before. I'm releasing a fresh anointing to speak to others going through similar situations, and your testimony will deliver them. I love you, and I'm working all things together for your good, so trust me in the process, because the process is only increasing your value. The enemy thinks that he has set you back and knocked you down and struck you down enough the last time. But God says, you are unconquered. He has not conquered you. He said, I'm taking everything that he meant for harm, and I'm going to use every bit of it for the world to benefit them and to benefit others. Everything he did to set you back, I'm going to turn it into a setback, a setup for something better. So get ready. Amen? Come on, stand up to your feet and give God a big old shout and say, it's my season for something better. I'm not set back. I'm set up for something better. So thank you, Jesus. Come on. Give him a big old thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Raise your hands up to heaven. I'm going to pray a prayer, salvation and a prayer that the Lord gave me to pray over you. Lord, we say yes to you now. We call you Lord because we know that we can't save ourselves. All of us in this room need a Savior. I pray that whoever has never declared that you are Savior would do that now as a personal decision. And Lord, I thank you now for being there, all-wise, all-sufficient, loving Heavenly Father. We trust now that you are increasing their value, as you said. I pray right now that any demonic grief, any kind of depression, discouragement, anything that has come against them during the painful process that they've been going through would go now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for the fresh anointing that is being released upon and in and through them. I thank you for resurrection power in every believer. It doesn't matter if they just said you're Lord or they've walked with you for 50 years. There are new levels of resurrection power for me, for every single one of us. And we thank you, Lord, that we can trust your character even when we don't understand the mystery of what you're doing. We thank you that this word has encouraged us and it has catapulted us into new things. This is truly our season of the new. It's the new. The Lord wants you to know this. You will do new things. You will hear new revelation. Some of you will have new relationships. Some of you will see new increase in all kinds of areas of your life. I want you to begin to mark down the new. God says, as you're coming into August, he says, all kinds of new things are going to begin to happen. The number 8 means new beginnings. 7 is completion. God says, I'm completing and I'm wrapping it up and I'm tying up all the loose ends of previous seasons, the things that hurt you, the things that you need to let go of. And he says, July is rolling out. You're rolling out, completed, all wrapped up. And he says, new things are on the horizon for you. So open your heart, open your hands, open your mind and begin to dream. And watch what I do, because it's going to be better than you ever thought. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
We'd like to thank you for joining us today. Thanks to those who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that makes this ministry possible. You can click the link below in the description box to give now or visit soulharvestwc.org/podcast for more information. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe. You could also share with your friends. Click the share button, take a screenshot, and also share in your social media stories and tag us at SoulHarvestWC. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.